Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn. I've been through the year 3000, and not much has changed, but they lived underwater. And your great, great, great granddaughter is divine. Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything. That's what we do on the Thursday show. Commerce, community, analysis on local and national issues, unique technology trends, entertainment insights, and takes on important news you can use. Milwaukee's on the move, without a doubt. Go Brewers. But market data and community building drive investment. This is so very true. We see it each and every day in Greater Milwaukee. On Tuesday night, Milwaukee Downtown, the Business Improvement District here in downtown Milwaukee, held its annual meeting and released a variety of metrics, including key principles that are driving downtown forward. Economy, inclusion, vibrancy, identity, and resilience. We're going to discuss some of these metrics with our guest today, Steve Glenn, and special guest Josh Albrecht, Chief Marketing Officer at Visit Milwaukee. Also on our big show agenda, the best new cities list from Condé Nast. Where does Milwaukee rank? The future of paying for your news? CNN threw out something yesterday that was pretty interesting. We may get to talk a little bit about some fragrance and the cost of cologne. Wall Street Journal says 15-year-old boys are driving the costs up and they're going retro with their style and their smell. And then later in the show, we are going to preview this weekend's big Milwaukee River Challenge and talk about the impacts economically, socially, vibrancy-wise right here in downtown Milwaukee. But as we do each and every morning, let's go to up.
Now it's time for the 2 up on the upswing.
First up, this is bananas. Saw this yesterday in the Upside newsletter, and you've been hearing it all over. Roughly 50,000 members of the International Longshoremen's Association went on infinite strike Tuesday, halting container traffic along East and Gulf Coasts from Maine to Texas. Oxford Economics analysts estimate that this strike could dent the U.S. economy by $4.5 billion, all the way up to $7.5 billion each and every week. One of the affected locations is America's leading banana port, and it's home to major importing operations by Dole and Chiquita. So keep an eye on banana prices, people, because they're expected to possibly rise by 25%. Bananas right now are running about 21 to 23 cents each. I saw them at Metro Market yesterday, 21 cents each. Trader Joe's used to do 19 cents each, but you may remember last March they went to 23 cents. So the top bananas can't get to the negotiation table. Your morning breakfast is about to get a little bit more expensive. Next up, a one-of-a-kind festival. This is free, featuring local podcast hosts and expert guests, is coming to Milwaukee tomorrow, Friday, October 4th. Podcast Town, in partnership with Oricon Bank, is bringing its first ever Podcast Town Festival to the Marcus Majestic Cinema for an immersive, interactive event. You're going to have live podcast performances. You're going to have networking and community building. There's going to be an interactive Q&A. Really cool the way to get up close and personal with local podcast hosts and also get a flavor of all the different topics that are being discussed in local podcasting. Tickets for the Podcast Town Festival are available online, podcasttown.net/festival. Next up, $10 brewer tickets tonight and much more. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It's the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Josh Albrecht from Visit Milwaukee joins us this morning. Josh, you were at the game last night. How'd it feel? Gotta feel great from the Visit Milwaukee lens to have the city come alive. It's truly important.
Oh, it's fantastic, magnificent. The energy was insane. Everyone waving their towels, cheering on the team. And I mean, the players themselves are saying that the crowd helped us, right? And that's a typical thing. And there was one too many Mets fans out there. So I hope Brewers fans are buying those tickets today for the final game. You know, Chris Christie was in the house taking photos with all the New Yorkers. I don't know if I saw any Brewers fans go up to him, though. It was all the New Yorkers, right? So holding those allegiances, it was an amazing experience. And driving hotel nights, right? That's an amazing thing, too. So don't mind that those Mets fans are coming and staying in our hotels.
Without a doubt. And if you want to be in attendance tonight, find a way to be there. Even if you can't get to the game tonight, go to a local bar, go to a local restaurant, assemble the family around the TV and watch, because these community building moments, they don't happen as often as we think they do, right? And we are making memories that last forever. So find a way to connect to the game tonight. It's just so important. You may not realize it right now, but like 10 years down the road, you're going to be like, oh, wow, that's the Milwaukee I love. And it's just truly important on so many different
levels.
You,
when Mitchell hit the home run, the go-ahead, and you know, Churio's already hit his home run that inning, the crowd's already crazy. I mean, in those moments, everyone in your section is your best friend.
Yeah,
right?
High-fiving. Yeah.
High-fiving, hugging, celebrating, jumping up and down. Yeah. It's pandemonium.
Yes, I love to see it. Love to see it. All right, so, Josh, I wanted to get your insight. A little bit of a shift here, but Salt Lake City was in the house a little bit last night, too. The third episode of Bravo's Real Housewives of Salt Lake City aired last night. Why don't I talk to you how this happened? I saw Potawatomi Bingo Casino or Casino and Hotel featured. I saw some other downtown locations featured. I don't think this, you know, not everyone watches this Bravo series, right? But Visit Milwaukee had a big impact on bringing here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously Real Housewives is a cultural juggernaut right now. There's there's so many versions of it. And coming off the heels of Top Chef, we knew we wanted to attract some more great attention. We worked with our friends at Bravo to set up this trip. And the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City were looking for a destination for a girls' trip. And it was in the middle of winter when they came, actually. And we said, how about Milwaukee? And they said, oh, man, what's the temperature going to be like? It's always mild.
Right.
When they came, it was like 70 degrees earlier this year in the winter.
Good work.
It was a beautiful winter day. Yeah.
Oh,
so we're like, it's always 70 and sunny. But yeah, it was amazing. We helped recruit them here, and our partners in town just rolled out the red carpet, whether it was Potawatomi being a host, obviously the Kin, they stay at the Kin, that's featured heavily in the episodes.
Yeah.
A few other surprises as they go around through the city. I remember them going to the Bucks game. It was all over social media when they were here. And it was pretty funny because they were like, we want to have a low profile. It's like, first, I don't think this show can have a low profile.
Right.
And when you sit courtside at a Bucks game, it's over. Everybody's going to know you're here. So it was just a great way to celebrate the city through some different eyes and reach some different audiences. And study after study on this show particularly says when people watch Real Housewives, they go to the destination. So we're expecting some great people coming to visit because people want to live that lifestyle and that sort of unique character of that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's great to see it air during playoff time, too. Like, it's kind of this rising tides lifts all boats phenomenon that really helps on multiple levels, for sure. The future of research, I think maybe, possibly, it's readers' polls. So when we come back, I want to get your take, both of you, Steve and Josh. Fans have been not only at WTMJ here surveying about the new lineup, but Condé Nast does this regular readers' poll survey. And they said a, quote, staggering 575,000 people voted in its latest readers' poll. And Milwaukee ranked pretty high. We're going to find out all the details when we come back. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Wow. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Community and commerce, the future of almost everything. Josh Albrecht from Visit Milwaukee and Steve Glenn from MISO and much, much more. Join. Got a couple talking text line questions about the $10 Brewers tickets. I think the easiest way is to go to your favorite search engine and search Brewers and Waste Management. You will find a link that way. Brewers are saying that fans that receive the special offer code can purchase $10 terrace level tickets for wildcard game number 3, courtesy of Waste Management. There's an 8 ticket limit while supplies last, but $10 to get in the terrace level. Enter code wildcard. Boom. As I said, if you are a fan, you live in greater Milwaukee, you live in Wisconsin, you got to experience playoff baseball. It is truly, truly special. So, Josh, I teased this before the break. You do a lot of research and bring a lot of data to the table at Visit Milwaukee. And readers' polls, though, seem to get the biggest buzz, right? They get people engaged. How important are these readers' polls to what you do each and every day?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're magnificent. And we always want to rank high on readers' polls. Those are active, engaged travelers and readers and people who are interested. And it's also a great way of showing community pride. A lot of these readers' polls are contests that you can enter online. And we like our partners and our residents to help support and lift that up. And the Conan Asked one is just one of the most recent ones that really have proven to be very fruitful for us.
Yeah. I mean, they got almost 600,000 votes. And the 37th Annual Reader's Choice Awards, here are the top 10 cities. I'm just going to start from 10 and go down, get your insights as we talk. Miami, number 10. Columbus. Columbus seems to be one of those Milwaukee-esque cities that's getting a lot of love. A really tight, walkable, traffic or transit-centric downtown that's very similar to Milwaukee. New York City, number 8.
Okay.
Boston, number 7. 6, San Francisco. 5, Washington, D.C. 4, New Orleans. Number 3. Good old Milwaukee.
There you go.
MKE.
Where did we rank last year?
Last year was number 3 as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. So number 2, San Diego. And number 1, our friends to the south, Chicago.
Oh. And they've got a hold on it. I think it's the last 8 years Chicago has placed number 1 in this contest. So we've got our eyes set on number 1, though. If someone's going to take down Chicago, it's going to be Milwaukee.
Nice. And then the Pfister Hotel and St. Kate the Arts Hotel and Grand Geneva Resort and Spa were also recognized in the Reader's Choice on the hotel side, too. So a lot of representation on that list. And it's good to see. I think it does impact the way people travel. And when people search and find positive information, right, they're like, all right, I should put Milwaukee in the mix.
Yeah, yeah, especially with an international publication like Condé Nast is. We know the cruises help a ton with that. They talk a lot about our cruise ships and the port that we have. So that's really been a big boost for us. But obviously, just more recognition. The more we're in the news, Top Chef, Real Housewives, the Brewers, the Bucks, the more people are going to recognize Milwaukee as a great destination.
I think I'll keep living here.
All right, that's good. That's recruitment and retention.
Just
I love
that article.
So a new study commissioned by Milwaukee Downtown, the Business Improvement District here, says that downtown provides significant benefits through the concentration of employers, entertainment venues, and cultural attractions. But we kind of lack in the residential growth. How do you guys think Milwaukee can kind of continue to leverage our downtown assets to fuel the residential side? Because that, in terms of what downtowns need, is driving that residential growth, really builds that density.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, all the employers that have been moving here over the past few years, I think, is helping. I'm actually surprised by that comment, because everywhere I look, there's development of residential places people can live.
Yeah, and they're really just saying we lag behind our peer cities.
Sure.
So obviously every other city our size, bigger and smaller, is doing the same thing. So it's kind of a keep up with the Joneses thing.
Yeah. I don't know, Josh, how does Visit kind of look at this?
Yeah, it's part of our destination management cycle. I mean, we want to build a place that people want to visit. If you want to visit, you want to live. Mm-hmm. And I think if we keep that focus, you know, great attractions like the development of the Deer District and new initiatives, new buildings going up with the couture.
Great restaurants.
Great restaurants. Mm-hmm. That recognition, when people want to visit here, we can get them to live here. And so I think we're going to start seeing that influx of people from out of the area moving in. And then, like you said, that retention. You know, if you have things to do, places to eat, community, things like Brewers games, that festival, City of Festivals. We just won an award for City of Festivals, won the tops in the world with the help of the Summerfest and World Festivals crew. This is why people want to live somewhere, and you add in the fact that we live on a beautiful lake.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think, too, that greater downtown area makes up 3% of the city's landmass, yet produces 22% of the city's total property tax base. So, the density is here. What do you guys think, and just quickly, what aren't we doing as a downtown?
That's a great question. I think better transit.
Yeah.
Better transit options.
Yeah. Better connections to other areas around town, and connecting all the neighborhoods around downtown, too, I think is truly important. And there's a lot of work going on there, but it's hard work to build those connections.
It takes time. Very walkable, though. The walkability score was fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We invite you to participate in WTMJ's Fall 2024 Fan Survey. Really easy to do. Takes less than 10 minutes. We want your feedback. To participate, all you have to do is text the word survey to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. The link will be texted back to you as a thank you for your participation. After you finish the survey, you'll be entered to win two tickets to the regular season Milwaukee Bucks, to a regular season Milwaukee Bucks game, and an overnight stay at the beautiful Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. So, Steve and Josh, as you access your news each and every morning, do you think the future of digital news is paid? Did you see the story from CNN yesterday?
No, besides the link you shared, but this just frustrates me when this stuff happens.
Well, CNN, obviously one of the most popular news sites worldwide, is starting to ask some of its visitors to pay $3.99 a month for access. On Tuesday, the news organization said it's laying kind of the first bricks of a paywall. Over time, it would help foot the bill for some of their journalism around the world and continue to build their community and tell bigger and deeper stories. News you can use for sure. It costs money for reporters to go all over the world, and more paywalls are coming to national sites.
Yeah, they are. I don't know. I think there has to be, are we still having this discussion, how do you monetize news today? And I don't know, there has to be better ideas out there. And I don't know, I was approached by an entity recently to sort of brainstorm this very topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, putting it on the reader, it's like charging for the weather. Are you going to pay someone to go experience the weather? There's news everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what you get into is, it's always available for free somewhere. But if you want the deeper coverage, you may be willing to pay the $1.99, $3.99 a month to dive into it.
It'd be cool if they crowdsource this and you could pay for the stories you wanted to see come to light.
Yeah, kind of the micropayments model where you could pay 5 cents, 10 cents to buy one story that you want to read.
Yeah, that would be maybe something a little more appealing to people instead of just, you pass a lot of links along, Jeff, and I get them and I get excited and I click and I don't have a subscription. I'm like, well, now what?
Yeah.
You'd hope the person who has a subscription copies and pastes it into an email.
Sneak it over.
Sneak it over to you. Right?
Exactly. And
your password.
What a lot of large sites are doing, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, is providing gift links. So if you're a subscriber to the service, you get 10 gift links per month. So if I do forward articles or I want somebody to see something, they can click on the gift link.
Yeah.
Then you're in the system. They capture the data. And hopefully you're able to subscribe down the road. So it's,
Yeah, I think the smaller brands are going to have smaller news brands will have a harder time. I did just subscribe to the New York Times, and they had a deal like $5 a month for 6 months or something. Okay. So I got
the deal got you in.
Yeah, and I really just get it. to kind of stay up to date, of course, but also they have a really good corner office business article that comes out periodically, and wanted just, it was worth $5 a month to me.
Yeah. Well, on the trade side, to get the data and the tourism news you need, Josh, each and every day, I'm sure there are trade magazines that you got to subscribe to because you need the content.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's several that we subscribe to throughout the industry and also to other news outlets. You know, you got to stay top of mind. But for those who can't afford it, because, I mean, every $5 counts, right? There are apps like Associated Press, and you can listen to the radio. I mean, there are other options. So I just view it as that way. If some of these sort of major news brands, if they want to start charging for the digital product, you know, those who don't want to subscribe, well, watch it on TV or find your alternate source.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about sort of that, like, news that only makes money is covered. That's always the concern, right?
Right. So, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, you have to make sure that all news is covered, not just the ones that sell subscriptions.
Yeah.
So does that compromise their journalist integrity? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it's more of a subject matter donation you can make. Like, I know Urban Milwaukee really thrived because some of the local political stuff the coverage was decreasing, and people really wanted to support and make sure that happened. So
yeah, it's often that niche content that people, you can't find anywhere else, that you're willing to pay for.
Right.
And I it's a good model. We're going to see more and more of this as we go into the future, for sure. So this weekend is the Milwaukee River Challenge, Saturday, October 5th. Used to be a September ritual. It's moved to October. The race covers 3 miles through downtown. Alyssa Remington, the economic development specialist at the City of Milwaukee and the coordinator for the event, joins us next to tell us what the River Challenge is all about and what its impact will be right here in downtown Milwaukee. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Josh Albrecht from Visit Milwaukee, also joined in studio by Alyssa Remington. Alyssa is economic development specialist at the City of Milwaukee and the race director for the Milwaukee River Challenge. River Challenge is this Saturday in downtown Milwaukee. Covers a 3-mile course that begins at the Menominee River at 25th and Canal and then heads east, kind of turns north onto the Milwaukee River, passing through downtown Milwaukee before finishing at Schlitz Park. Yes. It's always one of my favorite events. It kind of brings people from all areas to downtown Milwaukee, and it's yet kind of beautifully under the radar still, because it's a niche sport for sure, but it's so very cool because you can take it in from so many different places in downtown Milwaukee. It isn't like everyone goes to one space. There's so many bridges and access points across the entire city. So give us all the details in terms of the when and the where and the how for the River Challenge.
Yeah, you gave the when and the where, yes. Right? It's on the Menominee and the Milwaukee River. It'll start, the first race will come down about 9 o'clock, but you're going to see lots of activity at Schlitz Park if you're interested, for the prepping and the before the scene, you know, behind the scenes, starting at about 7 o'clock in the morning. Teams will roll in with their trailers, getting their boats ready. That all takes quite a bit of time before they can actually get on the water. And then they row up to the start. And like I said, their first race comes down at 9 a.m. And then about every hour and a half, we're able to send another race down. There are 8 events for both men and women. We have 2 different categories, the junior, which is your high school athletes, and then we have what we call the open category for anyone not in high school. That includes universities, colleges, and even someone like me if I were affiliated with a club and wanted to row in the master's category.
Wow. All right. So anyone can truly be a part of the event?
Anyone can be a part of the event if they're part of a rowing club. It's not one that you can just sign up like a 5K.
You're not racing, Jeff. Yeah, come on,
I was thinking, all right, give me in, give me in.
Put your canoe back.
So yeah, right. Who are the participating schools this year, and are there any major standouts?
Yeah, definitely. At the college level, we have the University of Wisconsin women. They're coming back after a brief hiatus post-pandemic.
Okay.
So they'll be here. That's always exciting to see them. As a former Badger, I love seeing them on the water. And then Purdue also comes. We have the University of Chicago, MSOE, and then local, you know, Marquette as well.
Okay.
And then from the high school side, we have the big one is our own local Milwaukee Junior Rowing Club.
Hmm.
And then we get quite a few from the Chicago area. The ones of note would be New Trier High School, and then Chicago Rowing Foundation brings almost 200 athletes.
Wow.
And they are a solid program.
Hotel stays.
Yeah.
There you go.
Love to hear it.
Yeah.
We're also early risers, though, unfortunately.
Oh. That's all right. Yeah. So what are the – kind of go back to the origins of the event. What year did it begin? And was there inspiration from another city that had this signature river challenge that somebody said, all right, this needs to be brought to Wisconsin and Milwaukee?
That's exactly what happened. The first year was 2001, and this really came to life because of the Milwaukee Riverwalk District's idea to – activate the Riverwalk, right? This was kind of in its infancy. There wasn't a lot of activity downtown, particularly related to the river in 2001. So they traveled to, with the coaches from the University of Wisconsin, traveled to the largest international regatta that exists in the fall, and that is the Head of the Charles in Boston, to see how you put on an event like this, and said, this is absolutely what we need to bring. You know, the shores of Boston for 3 miles are just covered with people.
Wow.
They're like, we want that in Milwaukee. How can we do that? And so they did. They partnered with Wisconsin to kind of come up with a plan, and then the local rowing club here took it on and provided the volunteers and the manpower and just the logistics to...
Welcome back to The Upswing. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations are full of creativity, dining rooms to explore. That's why they call it the Mineshaft. Super affordable, a ton of fun, very family-friendly. Our kids love it. Your kids, your grandkids will love it. It's a world-class game room, quietly, conveniently set aside from the dining area. Kids 5 and under eat free Monday through Thursday from the kids' menu. And every Thursday when you buy one pizza, you know you get a second pizza for free. So caller number, Steve Glenn, what
11.
Call? 11. Let's do caller number 11 at 855-616-1620. Gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. Economic development and events here in downtown Milwaukee. The Milwaukee River Challenge is one of the biggest and best for sure. One of my favorite. It just activates the Riverwalk. It highlights all the energy across the Riverwalk and even highlights some of the spaces that probably need some redevelopment. And I you know, that's what events are supposed to do for downtowns. Mm-hmm. So, Alyssa, as you're looking at, hey, I'm coming to the event, where do I get the best vantage points? Is it from the bridges? Is it from Schlitz Park? Like, because there's actually some passing in this event, too. Like, it's just not staying a straight lane. Like, the boats are going to jockey for position.
Oh, definitely. There's a ton of strategy in this kind of a race with the rowing event. And, you know, it really depends on what you're looking at or what you're looking for. If you want to see what a coxswain does, the little person in front, right, who's yelling at the crews, they do so much. This race is all about them and steering that shortest course and getting their crew to the finish line first, right? And also, how are they going to overtake the crew in front of them or stay ahead of the crew behind them? And you can see really up close what they're doing from any of the 18 bridges or from the Riverwalk. You get to hear it as well. If you want a little bit more action, there is a very challenging 90-degree angle turn. These boats are not that maneuverable.
Ooh.
So when these boats are going from the Menominee River onto the Milwaukee River, they have to navigate that turn while really close to the crews, right, that they're racing against. And so things can get a little bit dicey there. That vantage point would be from the Third Ward Riverwalk.
Okay.
Very up close and personal with the boats there. So that's a little bit of action. And then, of course, the finish line is always a great spot because everyone is giving it everything they have, right? Leaving it on the water. And so there's a lot of jockeying in that final stretch right in front of Schlitz Park.
All right. What additional infrastructure is needed to put this event on? You know, putting on events, especially in downtown areas, there's a lot of coordination that happens.
There's a lot of coordination. We have been so lucky to have sponsored or be sponsored by Schlitz Park. They have an amazing space that's available to us. A lot of other races, you're dealing with very small parks, maybe the size of Paramarquette. you're trying to fit all those boat trailers in there, all of these athletes, all of the spectators. If it's muddy, you know, or if it's snowing or raining like it usually is, it's a real problem. We have, I mean, you know, maybe not surface parking is the best thing on the river, but for us and our event, it's fantastic. And then the river itself is really the infrastructure that we rely on.
Yeah.
I mean, just having that is all we need.
And when is the river closed then to boat traffic? Will that be Friday or early Saturday?
Yep, early Saturday morning. Okay. We work with the Coast Guard just to ensure the utmost safety for our participants. The river will close at 7 a.m., both the Menominee and the Milwaukee. And it will reopen as soon as the race is over. That's typically between 2:30 and 3 o'clock.
All right, very good. Alyssa Remington, race director from the Milwaukee River Challenge. Remind us again when the first race starts off.
9 a.m. Saturday morning.
Very good. A great event for downtown Milwaukee, a great event for Visit Milwaukee. Steve Glenn, Josh Albrecht, Alyssa, thanks for joining.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
The parent company of Milwaukee Brewers broadcaster Bally Sports Wisconsin says it doesn't plan to broadcast Brewers games in the 2025 season. In a bankruptcy hearing Wednesday, Diamond Sports said it will end its agreement with 8 MLB teams, including the Brewers. The latest plan for a prominent corner in New Berlin calls for hundreds of apartments and thousands of square feet of retail space. Developer Wimmer Communities envisions a walkable, town center-style neighborhood at Moreland Road and Greenfield Avenue. Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport's capacity to handle cargo planes could surge with the developer of a logistics facility there expanding the project before it's even built. The project would allow Milwaukee's airport to compete with Chicago O'Hare for cargo tenants. I'm Teddy Nykel with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on News Radio WTMJ.